欢迎收听商务印书馆出版的《柯林斯名人故事集》第三集，了不起的科学家安托万·拉瓦锡，编写第一部现代化学教科书的人。
Antoine Lavoisier, the man who wrote the first modern chemistry textbook.
I was a French scientist who people call the founder of modern chemistry. With my wife's help, I wrote the first modern textbook on chemistry. I discovered what water consists of. I died on the guillotine in the French Revolution. I was born in Paris on the 26th of August 1743 into a family of rich aristocrats.When I was only 5 years old, my mother died and left me a lot of money. From the age of 11, I went to a very good school, the Collège des Quatre Nations, also known as the Collège Mazarin, where I studied chemistry, mathematics, astronomy, and botany. My father was a lawyer, so my family expected that I'd follow the same profession. But although I studied law,I didn't want to be a lawyer. I was much more interested in science. In 1766, I wrote an essay with a plan for lighting the streets of Paris. I felt very proud when I received a gold medal from King Louis XV for my essay. I also studied geology, the science of the study of rocks. In 1767, I worked with a team of geologists.On a study of the rocks of Alsace-Lorraine. In 1768, when I was 25, I was elected to the Academy of Sciences, the most important organization for scientists in France. In the same year, I started working in the administration of the Ferme Générale, a private company that collected taxes for the king. The Ferme Générale was hated.By the poor peasants of France. Many of the people who collected taxes for the Ferme Générale were very rich, but they didn't earn their money in an honest way. They gave some of the tax money they collected to the king, but they also kept a lot of money for themselves. I knew this was wrong, and I tried to help the poor peasants, but I'd no idea that one day I'd die because I'd worked for the Ferme Générale.I was very surprised when one of my work colleagues, an older man called Jacques Pauls, asked me if he could talk to me about his daughter, Marianne. He told me that she lived in a convent. However, a rich and powerful aristocrat called the Count d'Amerval wanted to marry her. But Marianne didn't want to marry the Count, as he was almost 40, and she was only 13.This made the Count very angry. He said that if Marianne didn't marry him, he would remove Jacques from his job at the Ferme Générale. So Jacques asked me if I'd marry Marianne. If she had a husband already, the Count wouldn't be able to marry her. So I agreed to meet Marianne. I was 28, but in spite of the 15-year difference between our ages,Marianne and I liked each other, so we married on the 16th of December, 1771. Marianne continued her education at the convent, but we met sometimes, and we liked each other more and more. She was very interested in my scientific work and wanted to learn more about it. After leaving the convent, she began to help me in my work, and for the next 20 years,We worked together as a team. Marianne had learned English, so she was able to translate the works of English scientists, for example, the chemist Joseph Priestley. This was very useful for me, as it meant I could learn what scientists in other countries were doing. Marianne was also very good at drawing, and she drew excellent diagrams of my experiments. In addition, she helped me write scientific papers and kept records of my experiments and discoveries. My work with the Ferme Générale kept me very busy, but in 1775, I was appointed to a new and important job when I became one of four commissioners of the Royal Gunpowder Administration. There had been some problems with the quality of the gunpowder used in France, but after I started working for the Royal Gunpowder Administration, the quality improved a lot. My new job was very good for my career as a scientist. I was given a house and a laboratory in the Royal Arsenal, the buildings where the army's equipment was stored. Marianne and I lived and worked there between 1775 and 1792. We often gave parties for other scientists, and they enjoyed visiting us to discuss their work and ideas. I made many important discoveries about chemistry in my laboratory. I had many questions, and I needed to find answers. One question was, what happens when something burns? One of the main scientific ideas of my time was called the phlogiston theory. According to this theory or idea, when something burns, a substance called phlogiston is released into the air. But I proved that the gas oxygen is very important when things are burned. I wasn't the first scientist to discover oxygen, but I was the first to call it by this name. Joseph Priestley, an English chemist, and Carl Wilhelm Scheele, a Swedish chemist, had already discovered oxygen at different times, but they called it by other names. In addition, I was the first scientist to prove that oxygen was an element. Scientists of my time believed that water was an element, but I proved that it's a chemical compound, a substance in chemistry that's made up of two or more elements. I discovered that water consists of two elements, oxygen and another gas, hydrogen. I also discovered that air consists mostly of oxygen and the gas nitrogen, although I called this gas azote. I spent a lot of time separating chemical compounds into elements, and in 1787, I invented a useful system for naming compounds. I also did experiments with breathing. I proved that people breathe in oxygen and breathe out the gas carbon dioxide. I also tried to improve the health of poor people in cities and towns. I believed that people who live in crowded areas need clean air to be healthy. In 1789, I published an important book about chemistry, which was really the first modern chemistry textbook. Its title was Traité élémentaire de chimie, Elementary Treatise on Chemistry. It contained a list of elements and explained how chemical compounds are made from elements, and it also explained the laws of chemistry. Marianne did 13 drawings for this book, and it was translated into English by a Scotsman called Robert Carr. I was very happy and excited about my book, but I didn't know that my happiness was going to end very soon. I didn't know that terrible events were going to happen in France, and that the next few years were going to be very dangerous for aristocrats like me. For centuries, there had been a huge gap between the rich aristocrats and the poor peasants in France. The peasants had very hard and difficult lives. Unfortunately, most rich people didn't care about the peasants, and they weren't interested in their problems. In addition, they were often cruel to the peasants, and as a result, the peasants became very angry. They blamed the king and the rich aristocrats for all their troubles, and at last, they decided it was time to change things. On the 14th of July, 1789, a huge crowd attacked the Bastille, a great prison in Paris, and released six prisoners inside. This was the start of the French Revolution. During the following years, aristocrats were hunted and arrested by the revolutionaries, and many were killed. I tried to stay away from the revolution, but I couldn't. The revolutionaries hated the Ferme Générale, the organization that I'd worked for. The Ferme Générale had forced the poor peasants to pay heavy taxes, and now the peasants wanted their revenge. So the revolutionaries made a list of all the members of the Ferme Générale and said that these people were enemies of France. Both my name and the name of Marianne's father were on the revolutionaries' list. I realized that I was in a very dangerous position. In 1792, I was forced to leave my job on the Gunpowder Commission and to move from my house and laboratory at the Royal Arsenal. On the 24th of November, 1793, the revolutionaries arrested everyone who had worked for the Ferme Générale, including Marianne's father and me. Unfortunately, my situation was made even worse because in the past, I'd made a powerful enemy, a scientist called Jean-Paul Marin. Marin hated me because several years before, he'd applied to become a member of the Academy of Sciences, and I'd spoken against him. As a result, the other scientists hadn't accepted him into the Academy. But later, Marat became a revolutionary leader with a lot of power. He'd waited for years to get his revenge on me, and now at last, he had his chance. He accused me of many crimes. For example, stealing money from France, helping foreign scientists, and even selling tobacco that had water added to it. Although Marat had been killed in July 1793 before my arrest, the revolutionaries still remembered what he'd said about me. On the 8th of May 1794, I was brought to the Revolutionary Tribunal, the Special Court of the Revolution, and accused of being a traitor to my country, an enemy to France. The judges asked me to defend myself, and I tried to explain that I was a scientist and chemist. Although Marianne and other people said I was an excellent scientist, the judges didn't want to listen. They said that the revolution didn't need scientists or chemists, and I was found guilty and sentenced to death. Later that same day, I died on the guillotine, together with Marianne's father and 27 other people. After my death, the government took away my notebooks and scientific equipment, but Marianne saved as much of my research as she could. Later, my research was published in a book called Mémoires de Chimie, Memories of Chemistry. A year and a half after my death, the government sent my things back to Marianne with a note that said, "To the widow of Lavoisier, who was wrongly convicted." But although the government had admitted they were wrong and had said that I was innocent, it was too late. My cruel death hadn't only been terrible for my family and friends, but also for my country, as France had lost a great scientist. It had only taken one moment to cut off my head, but the huge amount of scientific knowledge inside my head was lost for many years. If my life hadn't ended so tragically on that sad day, I could have made many more important discoveries.